alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing into the dividing asunder the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, critic of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Continue our study this evening, Doctrine of Demonism, Roman numeral 7, page 6 is where we'll re-engage in our notes. All right, our protection as believer priests in regards to living the Christian life comes through virtue of God the Holy Spirit in conjunction with our human spirit. God the Holy Spirit indwells all believers, but He does not necessarily fill believers. It's His filling role that enables the believer to be led, guided, and directed into the truth, to serve God accordingly and to, with respect to His plan, in action with honor, and provides for us, recalls for us, if you will, all the doctrine we need to know in regards to addressing the conflicts and tests we face in Christian life. And obviously, as it is most important at this point in time, it provides us the means and ability to assimilate the truth of Bible doctrine undistorted by the sin nature, and in this capacity understand purely, accurately God's plan for our life. We don't have to go around guessing in regards to these things or surmising or speculating. We have the truth in front of us. God the Holy Spirit is all that we need to interpret this truth, along with the communicator, the human communicator that He has provided to our, interpret the Bible for us in this respect. You yourself can figure these things out if you will give it time and dwell on it in regards to being in fellowship and otherwise. Obviously, some of it takes concentration and contemplation in regards to these things. It indeed is called work because it engages in labor, intellectual labor, in regards to ascertaining the depths of God's Word as they are so designed in this respect. So with that in mind, I'll give you opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start with the normal word of prayer. Father, again, we thank You for Your perfect plan, even though man may misrepresent Your plan. All men can be liars, but we know the truth of Your Word stands forever in this regard. We know that those who are true seekers of Your Word seek by adhering to the principles of Your Word and the spiritual priorities under NPR with their right pastor, right geography, and all the other aspects that are right before You in regards to their Christian lives under the principle of rebound and the maturity adjustment. And we thank You for making this provision possible for us in this particular geographical location of Your of the world, and protecting us regards to Satan's onslaught, demonic onslaught around us, with respect to other people, sacred cows, all these other distractions that keep people from Bible class and keep people from truly spiritually advancing their lives and holding and maximizing for all the blessing indeed You have for those who are faithful to the end in this respect. We ask once again this evening that God the Holy Spirit will enlighten His truth in the matters at hand. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, demons are the fallen angels with Satan as their leader, who in harmony and orchestration and hierarchy have organized a direct attack against God's plan. Their primary targets are the human race. It is their intents and purposes to try to influence the human race by whatever means necessary to reject God's plan and to benefit and follow their leader's agenda otherwise. This is done, as we know, by virtue of negative volition and the indwelling sin nature with respect to men. The worst case scenario are those individuals, unbelievers, who willingly allow themselves to be possessed by demons and operate their life in this capacity. Yet, no one is immune to demon influence, including all believers. And our protection, obviously, is by maintaining the filling of God, the Holy Spirit, and the truth of doctrine before us as we walk through the darkness of Satan's world with these invisible beings real around us, trying to pull the strings, etc., to trip us up. Roman numeral 7 here now deals with demonism and that which is called divination, which is the forbidden occult art of attempting to obtain information about the future. We have all the information we need to know about the future recorded for us in the Bible. We don't need the help of spirits or other aspects otherwise. So, A, in this regard, there are two basic types of divination. There is one, what is called artificial or augury. And you've probably seen the practices of these things on TV shows, things of that nature. This relies on skills in reading signs or omens, such as card or tarot readers, the chicken bone or in the pan thing, dice, you know, and all the rocks and things that they throw in there. Astrology is part of this, and looking to these things to conjure up some form of future history regarding an individual or history in and of itself in that respect. Two, and there's other, obviously, other forms. Two, so there's artificial that basically likes to use a Ouija board type of the mentality to approach it. Two, they learn certain things. If something lands this way, this means that, blah, blah, blah. Two, then there is inspirational. We understand inspiration via God the Holy Spirit in regards to true prophecy. Demons have a counterfeit inspiration. That depends on a medium, one who is willing to contact and engage with the demons under the possession and influence of a demon. The channeler, as the modern vernacular has adopted, tried to use to, you know, to diminutize the evil concept, you know, of a medium and older words describing these evils that people recognized in the past. And now everybody thinks cool, see. So three, the Romans were given usually to augury, while the Greeks generally went the possession route. Four, all such fortune-telling activities are connected with demons and are forbidden by the Word of God. The astrologers, to go to the fair, you know, the entertainment, get your fortune foretold, all these things, stay away from it. It's not worth it. To associate yourself with known practitioners of demon contact. And if they're not real, they are at least presenting themselves, and I guarantee you, the demon activity swirls around these types. B, so this means, in reality, that fortune tellers, such as Gene Dixon of more recent times, Edgar Cayce, Nostradamus, one of the more renowned fortune tellers, if you will, of time, are evil. It has been suggested of research in regards to Nostradamus, see if he has any Jewish blood in him. One of the, keeping an open mind, obviously we know that the Antichrist is raised from the dead in his role, even though the false prophet is not said specifically, why could he not be? Moses and Elijah are resuscitated, so you have these resuscitated people. And obviously, if Nostradamus had Jewish blood in him, he might be a candidate to be resuscitated along with the Alexander the Great in this regard. It was just a suggestion passed down to me. I'm throwing it out to you. But either way, their practice is evil, as accurate as they may be otherwise. Under the law, the Mosaic law, The death penalty was prescribed for less than 100% accuracy by one who claimed to be a prophet. An evil prophet is a medium, necromancer, things of this nature, in this respect. Deuteronomy 18. It is made clear that the prophet shall speak a word presumptuously in my name, presuming that what they are thinking is correct, even though it has not been revealed by God Himself, which I have not commanded him to speak. It is not ministry of God the Holy Spirit in this case, as another spirit, for which he shall speak in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. If they're known to be of this ilk, and even to start up this profession, this practice, they are to be separated from Israel permanently. You don't let that kind of practice be part of the society that they live in. And one way that you can tell the difference between true prophets and people of this ilk or false prophets, verse 22, when a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not come about or come true, that is a thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously, you shall not be afraid of him. You don't give any heed to whatever warnings, omens, or whatever else they may throw out at you. No, rather, you should arrest them and have them tried and executed. Certain STA types who want to promote these types of activities within society, if the society wants God to bless them, then obviously they do not allow these practices to occur. You know, our world is so liberal under the New World Order regime, the satanic regime, that societies that do practice things that don't fall within our own liberal viewpoints anymore of our society, we call that evil. It's their nation. It's their rules, their laws. You want to go visit? Well, be prepared to operate under their laws, see, or pay the consequences. You can imagine someone like King David, who is the standard of all other kings in Israel. He is a type of king, a righteous king, that ensured that the law was carried out in regards to these things, and why he would be unpopular among certain ilks of society, which you see that in regards to the Book of Psalms. His enemies, etc., why people are out after him, because he stood for righteousness in the face of all the liberal emotionalism, otherwise contrary to the divine viewpoint. So see, people such as Gene Dixon again, Edgar Cayce, Nostradamus were not able to make predictions with 100% accuracy. Close study of such individuals reveals their association with demons. You do your research on this on your own to substantiate this. For example, a case that practiced telepathy, fortune-telling, clairvoyance, or channeling. Another avenue, medium for this, is known as meditation, the Eastern type of meditation, not talking about just simple contemplation. But to meditate and put your mind in a beautiful place, as they would say. Eastern mysticism of meditation, like the Orients like to practice, many of the martial arts and things of this nature are based on that practice, so they can give them a little extra power, a little extra quickness. Cayce also taught reincarnation as point C. Not resurrection, but you come back as another living thing. He believed that he himself was the reincarnation of a cousin of Luke, And notice how the Christian flavor is attached in regards to many of their approaches and representations of self. See? Again, you can't depend on what someone says in regards to what they are claiming to represent. You've got to listen to what they have to say. Then you've got to take that and you've got to compare it to the Bible. Just like I expect you, in regards to me, to constantly always engage in that standard in regards to my claims with respect to the interpretation of the Scripture. See? Why would you do that anything less than anyone else in life if you're going to do it in regards to your shepherd and testing the spirits and things of this nature, providing these protocols? That's why I am extremely wary, and I provide warning in regards to churches that do not practice rebound, do not encourage their believers to rebound, to get in fellowship before they get up and do all their Bible waving and preaching and all these other things. Why don't they do that? Because they're under their SCA, and they're assuming most everybody else is under their SCA, if they even know what the SCA is. And that's the avenue in regards to employing one's deceit. Further case, continuing point C, taught that Jesus was reincarnation of Adam. Melchizedek, king associated with Abraham. Joshua and Zend, the father of Zoroaster. Zorotoaster. What a funny name. He taught that God was both male and female. God is neither. He's a spirit. He's constantly represented in the male sex in regards to the language. This to denote his authoritative figure. He was a mother, father, God. He taught that Jesus and his mother Mary were twin souls. How weird is that? But people fall for this. You know, it's like Scientology. I mean, give me a break, you know. Believe in aliens and this is how life is going to be and this is how you're going to find your salvation in life. You know, these crazy kooks that should be on a Cheech and Chong movie in a crazy bin somewhere and you're laughing at them. And people who are otherwise highly educated embrace them. And fallen, and I'll tell you why, because demons are usually directly associated with organizations like that. And Satan loves to prosper his own. And he brings about things that would on the surface look like, oh, what they're into is a great thing. Look how it works, see. It's like all the chanting and all these other things. Get your mind in the right spot. And the world comes together for your good, and good things happen to you. You get involved in that, you deserve to fall for whatever the demons may bring about to make you think, ooh, that was good. See? Anyway. He taught that Mary also was of a virgin birth. I don't know where he gets that at. And then he taught that God does not know the future. All these things are doctrines of demons. Obviously. So, there, as an example. And yet, we have presidents' wives that are known to associate and appeal to these types in regards to their own lifestyle. Hollywood types are big into this. Just because, someone may promote conservative principles and otherwise as a leader doesn't mean that spiritually they got their act together. I can guarantee you, since the establishment of the UN, there has probably not been a president we've had that has not been involved in New World Order to some degree and has some influence in that respect. They lean to it. They provided this avenue in our history. I don't care how good they may seem otherwise. If there was any that bucked against it, they're probably the ones laying in their graves today. Or grave. But anyway, we'll know when we get to phase three, all that be made known to us, and we'll find out. But it's nice to have the insight, the doctrine you can take at it, and at least logically look at these things and come to probably some pretty sound conclusions when it's all said and done with. Divination may come in the form of what's called one astromancy, astro for astrology, the alignment of the stars, your horoscopes, you know, and here again was something that was legitimate at one point in time in history to communicate Bible doctrine for the antediluvian period. And shortly after there were through the traditions of men, etc., it was still practiced through in the time of Daniel. The wise men, the Magi, they looked at it, but then that went away, and the canon of Scripture took over, and that became then our means of knowing what God's plan is. And now we just look at the stars and universe that are lying out, and you put it within the doctrinal perspective to understand and have an idea of what that doctrine represented at that point in time. So your horoscope, you know, people having their horoscope read, some of these things, you know, I'm not easily vibrated, but those kind of things do vibrate me. You know, you see a believer that you know is on doctrine, and all of a sudden, you know, they're out there plastering their horoscope for everyone to look at, like it's something that's cool. Forget it. Two, you have what is called you know how many times I pronounced this word before Bible class so I could pronounce it when I was in Bible class, and now I'm drawing blanks. Hepatoscopy. Hepatoscopy. There it is. I can put an accent over the vowel to help me remember. But I'm an Okie. And you know how dumb Okies are when they talk. That means that's that practice of reading livers, that type of deal, killing the chicken, pulling out the organs. The lobe of the liver is supposed to be a reflector of the gods. Three, there's what's called bellomancy. That is where one would shoot an arrow. It revolves around chance or luck. Parallel that, if you ever watched The Big Bang Theory, the intellectual idiot Sheldon, he decided he was going to engage in this type of practice, even though he thought it was scientific, and throw dice whenever it turned out whether that's the kind of food he was going to eat or whatever. As genius they may be in regards to the real world, in regards to intellectualism, they're spiritual idiots otherwise. Four, there's what's called rhabdomancy. That's using a witching staff. That's mentioned Hosea 4:12, which is warlocks, the Wizard of Oz. All that is demonic activity. Yet it's how popular is it in regards to entertainment for children, etc. I know as a kid, most kids that are normal kids, when they first see that movie, it scares the crap out of them. It really does. Because I remember, I was a kid. See, I was around when it first came out. Not quite that old, but close to it. Hosea 4:12. The practice of witchcraft. Why everybody that wants to wear black all the time, the dark look, all that is emulating this type of approach in regards to life. I'll find it here in a second. Hosea 4:12. My people consult their wooden idol, and their diviner's wand informs them, the witching staff, for a spirit of harlotry has led them astray, and they have played the harlot, departing from their God. both spiritually and most often the failing trend was involved in a lot of this physically. Let's see. There is what's called point five, necromancy. That is contacting the dead, in which the spirits then imitate the loved one or the dead person that they're trying to contact. See? And they think, oh, look at this, we're talking to the dead. The only case we have of truly contacting the dead and that working, as we know, was King Saul as he went to the medium. And God permitted Samuel in his soul to appear and proclaim his death sentence for his next day of his life. See? And it freaked everybody out because it usually never works. But anyway, all this that you have, all the human viewpoint people have regards to death, physical death, where people are at, that people are constantly thinking about you and you're praying for them. Well, they've made up their course. They've completed their course. Their judgment sits in front of them. What are you praying about? They've already set their eternal destiny. You know. And I'm sure, I don't think that even believers that are in heaven are sitting up there necessarily interested in what's going on down here. They're up there partying down, see. They understand and recognize, oh, doctrine is real. There is eternal life, see. Six, then finally there is hydromancy. Hydro for water, cup divination using liquids. I'm not necessarily familiar with that one, for the record. All right, Roman numeral 8. Demonism is characteristic of evil rule, of national and world rulers that are evil. Often, if not, you say most of the time, demonism is directly involved. 2 Kings 21, even in the land of Israel, obviously Israel's history is up and down in regards to their adjustment or maladjustment to God and His plan, the Mosaic Law. Mostly it's down. When you have kings and rulers that are righteous, they seem to be the exceptions. 2 Kings 21 gives us a couple of examples, beginning with Manasseh, of evil rulers. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, pretty young. That tells you an age that's considered in regards to probably God consciousness, and maybe even a little younger, as you have some even 8 years old. So, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, verse 1. His mother's name was Hephzibah, 2, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord, according to the abominations of the nations, when the Lord dispossessed before whom the Lord dispossessed before the sons of Israel. Rather than applying doctrine of separation, he embraces the pagan ideology around him into his own rule. And verse 3, this is what he's guilty of, for he rebuilt the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed, who was righteous. So you never know in the line who might be positive, who might be righteous, who might not be in regards to it. And he erected altars for Baal and made an Asherah, as Ahab, king of Israel, had done with Jezebel. That bitch. And I didn't say which. I said it with the B. And worship all the hosts of heaven and serve them. The astromancy approach, see. and he built altars in the house of the Lord, which the Lord has said, in Jerusalem I will put my name. This is how far he goes. He takes it in and he intermingles it into the form of true worship and all that that's supposed to represent through the temple, etc. For he built altars for all the hosts of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he made his son pass through the fire. Wow. Sacrificed his own living kid. Practiced witchcraft and used divination. And dealt with mediums and spiritists. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him, God, to anger. Then he set the carved image of Asherah that he had made in the house of which the Lord said to David and to his son Solomon, in this house in Jerusalem which I have built from all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. Carved image of the Asherah represents the phallic symbols. And he does this in the temple. You believe this. At verse 8, and I will not make the feet of Israel wander anymore from the land which I... verse 7 again. Then he set the carved image of Asherah that he had made in the house of which the Lord said to David and his son Solomon, in this house in Jerusalem which I have chosen for all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. And will not make the feet of Israel wander anymore from the land which I gave their fathers. If only, here's the condition. This is conditional covenant, the Mosaic covenant, in regards to being in the land, if they will observe to do according to all that I have commanded them, and according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them. But they did not listen. And Manasseh seduced them to do evil more than the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the sons of Israel. Now the Lord spoke through his servant the prophet, saying, at verse 11, because Manasseh, king of Judah, has done these abominations. It's an abomination before God to engage in this type of practice and having these kinds of relationships in life. Having done wickedly more than all the Amorites did who were before him. Wow. He even made the pagans look good. That's just crazy. And he also made Judah sin with his idols, the southern kingdom. And therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I'm bringing such calamity on Jerusalem and Judah that whoever hears that both his ears shall tingle. We would say, make the hair rise up in the back of your neck. See? And I will stretch over Jerusalem the line of Samaria and the plummet of the house of Ahab, and I will wipe Jerusalem as one wipes a dish. A term and an idea of completely wiping out them as a nation. And we'll see this term used in regards to God's judgment on the antediluvian race here in our next set of verses in Genesis. And turning it upside down. And I will abandon the remnant of my inheritance and deliver it into the hand of their enemies. And they shall become as plunder and spoil to all their enemies. Because they have done evil in my sight and have been provoking me to anger. God gives people time. But after a while, grace is up, judgment is the next door. Since the day their fathers came from Egypt, even to this day. And verse 16, moreover, Manasseh shed very much innocent blood until it had filled Jerusalem from one end to another, besides the sin which he had made Judah sin in doing evil on the side of the Lord. Now the rest of the acts of Manasseh and all that he did and his sin which he committed, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And Manasseh slept with his fathers, the diary, his own record. And was buried in the garden of his own house in the garden of Uzzah. And Ammon, his son, became the king in his place. And like father, like son. And Ammon, verse 19, was 22 years old when he became king. And he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Meshulamith, and the daughter of Ruz of Joppa. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, as Manasseh his father had done. For he walked in all the way that his father had walked, and served the idols that his father had served, and worshipped them. A bunch of religious idiots, see, is what they become. So he forsook the Lord, the God of his fathers, and did not walk in the way of the Lord. And the servants of Ammon conspired against him and killed the king in his own house. Some people had enough, see. Then the people of the land killed all those who had conspired against King Ammon. And the people of the land made Josiah, his son, king in his place. And with Josiah, this is how God overrules. With Josiah, then another cat comes on the rulership. And you can continue reading on your own there if you want later. But we see the involvement of demon activity, demon influence, even in the land of Israel. These demons who have roles in regards to national world rulers, they're called cosmocrators, ruler of the world. It's a title that Alexander the Great gave himself. I understand that when his archaeological presentation was being shown around the United States, some people in doctrine got to go visit it. And Cosmocrator was a title in regards to his person in his bust, Alexander the Great, the Cosmocrator, the world ruler. The Cosmocrator demons, those behind world forces, attempt to influence world rulers. Again, Ephesians 6:12 talks about the spiritual forces of darkness in the heavenlies and having influence in regards to world rulers, leaders, authorities. You can mark out the 10:18. Never have figured out what that was for. And then we can compare Daniel 10:13 in regards to Gabriel doing battle on behalf of or trying to get to Daniel with world rulers. So both the fallen elect angels are constantly involved in regards to our very history, their very presence. We understand, generally we look at the elect angels, we understand them being servants of believers. But they're completely involved in regards to this whole scenario of the human history. Hence why the term angelic conflict is completely apropos in regards to describing our presence in regards to God's economy. One elect angel such as Michael and Gabriel are assigned to oppose the representatives of Satan. Again, Daniel 10 verses there in that passage, 13:20, compare 11:1. Two, under Satan, demons are the princes over unrighteous nations. The demons in Daniel 10 are called the Prince of Persia and the Prince of Greece. B, Satan himself is depicted as the one behind the evil ruler of Tyre in one of the two primary dominant passages that we get a bunch of information regarding Satan, Ezekiel 28:12. You have a dual reference. Tyre in the doctrine of prophetic Babylon is code in some cases, even for prophetic Babylon, by the way. Tyre, Babylon, Ezekiel 28:12. Son of man, take up a lamentation over the king of Tyre. The dual reference, the real lamentation is over Satan, the lead fallen angel that is behind, truly behind, the brains, if you will, behind the openly declared war against God. And say to him, thus says the Lord God, you had the seal of perfection, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. You were in Eden. The king of Tyre was not in Eden. It's a dual reference to Satan, as we know. Alright, see, he is the one who deceives peoples and nations. This is done with assistance from his demon army. 2 Corinthians 4:3 and 4. If our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. In Revelation 20, 7 and 8, after the 1,000-year millennial period is completed, Satan will be released from his prison and will come out to see the nations, which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog. That revolution will then come forth to gather them together for the war. He's the leader, once again. The number of them is like the sands of the seashore. And you can imagine how many people that's going to be. During the millennium, the population explosion on this planet make your head spin. We think there's a lot of people today. It's nothing compared to that time in history. All right, Roman numeral 9 now deals with demonism and the Great Tribulation, their influence, involvement during Daniel's 70th week is obvious in Scripture. First, the Antichrist, and by application, certain other demonic activity is restrained by God the Holy Spirit in this dispensation. We do have protection of God the Holy Spirit for the church age to complete its administrative history according to divine design. Again, it's going to get worse, yes, but we will still come short of seeing the worst of the worst. And we will be permitted, the church will be permitted to continue to administer God's plan as handicapped as it is spiritually until God determines for that change in history. And that will be at the rapture of the church. 2 Thessalonians 2, again, 7 and 8, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. The agenda, the satanic agenda to establish the new world order. It takes time. He's got plenty of that. Or enough. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. That is God the Holy Spirit. And then that lawlessness, one will be revealed, and the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. We will not personally get to see the rise of Antichrist. We're out here. Let the other people look at him. B, Satan and all the demons will be confined to earth during this period of time, not for the entire period, but for approximately the latter half of it. Satan becomes extremely angry, resulting in more intense persecution of the Jews. The Star Wars scenario bringing about the fall of Satan in confinement to the planet. The passage again, Revelation 12, 7 through 17. The war in heaven, the Star Wars, if you will. Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels waged war. They were not strong enough. There was no longer a place found for them in heaven, either third or stellar space, second heaven. We look at heaven in its three categories. First heaven, our upper atmosphere. Second heaven is the universe proper. Third heaven is everything outside that, where God chooses to manifest himself. And the souls of believers go to and elect angels. That's their primary place of residence. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, is thrown down to the earth, and the angels were thrown down with him. And all the demons are participants in regards to this angelic star war. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, "Now the deliverance and the power of the kingdom of our God and the authority of this Christ have come. For the accuser of our brother has been thrown down, who accuses them before our God day and night." This is a major event in regards to God dealing with planet Earth and with the angelic conflict. And part of it comes that fact that God completely now washes out any other presence, even allowing presence under permissive will to enter into the third heaven, as Satan and them have still today, that means ingress into the third heaven to seek audience with God, to bring accusation. Accuse them before God day and night. They never quit. They never tire in this regard. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb, because of the word of their testimony. They did not love their life even to death, as many of these are martyred out. And truly, for all who apply doctrine, you are giving up truly your physical life for your spiritual life. That's what you will pursue. For this reason, rejoice, O heavens, and you dwell in them. See, the happiness there really is for the third heaven. The unhappiness, the discomfort, is for all those poor suckers still on this planet who want to follow the agenda established today. And obviously it's still working out the kinks, but it's getting there in a new world order. Woe to the earth and the sea, verse 12, continuing, because the devil has come down to you having great wrath, knowing that he has only a short time. 3.5 years to open up as much hell on this planet as he possibly can. And when the dragon saw that he was thrown down to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. That is none other than Israel, who becomes once again the focal point of the angelic conflict almost in its entirety. The church is gone. All these targets are removed. You have the removal of Moses and Elijah. That distraction and target's been removed. Israel, 144,000, they remain the central focus. And when the dragon saw that he was thrown down to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. Verse 14, the two wings of the great eagle were given to the woman in order that she might fly to the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and a half a time for the presence of the serpent. By all accounts, there will be still military equipment available in the line of the Air Force, etc., to make provision for transportation for the Jews. Fortunately, for Israel, not all of our military is located on this continent. You got the Navy at sea, and they carry a great amount of air power with them. And the serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman, so they might be, he might cause her to be swept away with the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and drank up the river which the dragon poured out of his mouth. God continues to provide protection. He does it through nature. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, went off to make war with the rest of her offspring. He's thwarted in that regard, so he turns his anger on the rest of mankind, the rest of the believers, who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus, the ones not willing to take the mark of the beast in particular. See, both the Antichrist and false prophet will be possessed during this period in history. Again, Revelation 13, 1 through 18. We just read that recently. D, under God's permissive will, they will bring an operation of deception upon reversionists. This deception will include supernatural signs and wonders. The 2 Thessalonians 2 passage brings that out. The world is deluded. The world being negative volition. And it is part of the judgment upon their negative volition that they fall for the miraculous signs and wonders that are associated with the Antichrist and false prophet in regards to their agenda and demonic ministry. Verses 9 through 12. An army of demons will be released from the abyss, Tartarus, during this time, as we know, the ones who were incarcerated due to the angelic infiltration that we are dealing with in Genesis, to inflict pain for 5 months on the followers of the Antichrist. It's amazing what people will go through, what they endure, what God brings on their heads, and they still refuse to believe. Revelation 9, 1 through 11. F, every ilk of demon, including those of basis of characters, such as you find in the Sodomite population, will find a permanent residence in political Babylon, the USA. That is the society in which we live. We are indeed Babylon. The prophetic Babylon, with our sister whore, religious Babylon, operating on her behalf, the Roman Catholic Church. Revelation 18:2. So every unclean bird would be crapping on this continent. That's birds unclean. Why are they unclean? Because they just mess up your newly washed and waxed vehicle. That's why. If you had a gun, you'd shoot them. They're quicker than you are at the draw, usually. At least me. G, all fallen angels will be removed at the second advent for 1,000 years. Revelation 20, 1 through 3 and verses 7 and 8. During that period of time, Jesus Christ rules on this planet, and the planet is free of demon possession and influence otherwise. So we have this unprecedented period of peace and righteousness, of which we can all, we'll be there, but mankind in general can all enjoy that respect. In Roman numeral 10, then you have the final doom of all demons. They all have a destiny. That destiny is one of eternal destruction for their rebellion to God. They are in a condition that was in the presence of God. Their disobedience to God did not provide, did not sponsor a means of salvation. They made their decision. When they made their decision is once and over. Of course, it's not unlike making a decision coming out of evil. Once you do that, then you made that decision forever too, in that sense. So they all have been judged. Right now we're part of the appeal process in regards to Satan's arguments, specifically what they may be, and his claims in usurping God through his I wills. Human history is the appeals process. So, that doom is known to all demons, point A. James 2:19, it's not anything that they're not aware of. They are motivated and operating with this frame of reference of reality for them. So I guarantee you they're doing everything and pulling every stop they can that God permits to try to avoid the ultimate judgment. You believe that God is one, you do well. James 2:19. The demons also believe and shudder. Matthew 8:29. Regards to demons, behold, they cried out, saying, what do we have to do with you, Son of God? They recognized Jesus for who he is. Have you come here to torment us before the time? They recognize the eternal torment that they are facing. And then also 25:41, that documents that their place of incarceration is already in existence. Then he will say to those on his left, Matthew 25:41, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which is prepared for the devil and his angels. So be all will be confined to the lake of fire forever. Again in Matthew 25:41, then Revelation 20:7-10, specifically in regards to Satan being confined for the thousand years of the millennium in Sheol, Hades, the final battle of Gog and Magog, the final rebellion when they return to planet Earth along with his demonic army and the negative volition on this planet. They will be ultimately destroyed, and then that's when they will meet their final destination in doom in the lake of fire. Verse 10, and the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophets are also they've been there for 1,000 years, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, Holy Spirit, continue to light the sea scenes in Jesus' name. Amen.